Welcome in to the Mean Streets podcast. March Madness week one is over. Week two is on the horizon. The Alabama Crimson Tide are headed back to the Sweet 16 for the third time in 4 years under Nate Oates and his four NCAA tournament appearances. I'm William Galloway, joined by Britton Johnson. Today's episode is brought to you by Mary Ansley Smalley of Rand Pointer Properties. Ready to make your move? Call or text Mary Ansley Smalley today at 205-276-6438. BJ, it was the best weekend of sports. Hands down, bar none. Bar, ironically, because you're in law school and had a mock trial you have to tell us about. But what a great weekend. I mean, got to give a shout out to Oakland upsetting Kentucky, putting Calipari and Kentucky fans and faithful on the fringe. That was probably, you know, one of the highlights of my weekend. But what stood out to you in an exceptional first weekend of March Madness?
You know, opening weekend of March Madness really is like its own holiday. It should be treated as such. People should not have to work on Thursday or Friday of the first round of March Madness. I mean, just very, very fun tournament so far. I'm saying that from the Alabama fan perspective. You know, maybe if you're a fan of a different team in this state, it's been a not so fun weekend. But
in any other team in this state.
Yeah, no kidding. I think there have been a lot of great games, and I think we've got it set up really well for a really fun Sweet 16 and on, because so many higher seeded teams did advance, albeit in really good, you know, competitive games. Example being the Creighton game, I guess, was that last night?
Saturday night, yeah, Creighton.
Or Saturday night. And just very back and forth and very fun game. So you had games like that all weekend, obviously, from our perspective. We got to watch the end of the Auburn game together and then watch the Alabama game on Friday, which was, I'll say that was a fun night of sports watching, that's for sure. And then for me, my bracket after day one was at the 15th percentile. So I kind of questioned if I actually knew basketball or knew ball in any capacity, but now I'm up to 89th percentile. So I'm feeling better about myself. We'll see. I have tied in the final four. As y'all know, I have had Samford in the Sweet 16, so that probably hurt me a little bit. But I'll fall on that sword. That's a bet I'd make again. But what a weekend, really.
Well, what goes around comes around. From 15% to 89%, I did one. I'm a one bracket guy. If you've listened to us previously, you know Britton is a 30 bracket guy, or as many as he can. And I did one this year where I put my hands out and I had my dog. I would say, you know, Alabama or College of Charleston. I didn't give him much of a choice, but he would then make a selection. So I don't think his bracket is doing too well either. He does have Creighton winning it, so that will be something to follow. Britton, Alabama defeats College of Charleston 109-96. That was in Spokane. UAB lost in Spokane. Auburn lost in Spokane. We'll get to Samford a little bit later on the podcast. Go back, rebound, defeat Grand Canyon in what was a fight where a basketball game broke out, 72-61. I did some research last night at the end of the game. Alabama, that was their lowest point total in a victory this year. 72, the last time they had as few as 72 points and won a game was March, I believe, 11th, 2023. So last season versus Mizzou in conference play. But Alabama has won four games in the 70s this year, and they've also scored over 110 times. And so they went to Spokane and showed what they could do on both ends. They can win in a battle. They can win in a shootout. Now, you would look at Grand Canyon and College of Charleston and think that there's a big talent disparity, which there is. And Ramadan Mo, a.k.a. Mo Diabate, came up huge for the Crimson Tide. Check out his Instagram. He calls himself that. I was thoroughly impressed with his gutsy performance, and he gave Alabama exactly what they needed against Grand Canyon. Another 20-piece from Mark Sears in both games. What were your initial takeaways of a game, two games really in Spokane that had different contrasts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, something that I've heard preached from both Bucky and Oates is great teams are able to win games in any style, in any way. You know, the example being in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 100s. And you saw both ends of the spectrum. Now, I don't think you'll see any Alabama games, hopefully, in the 50s. But you saw both ends of the spectrum kind of this weekend. And the first was just, it was so good. It was such a breath of fresh air after kind of seeing us limp to the finish line. I just felt like we got our burst back. You know, Mark was moving at a different speed than he had moved at the weeks prior. And I'd say the same for all those guys. They were playing at a different pace and a different speed. And so I'm never going to use the silver lining of like, well, I'm glad we lost because we got our legs under us, because that's just loser mentality. We don't do that stuff. But I will say, I do think that time off did maybe benefit us in getting our legs under us, because we seemed to play with a level of explosiveness that I hadn't seen since early February. So that was really exciting. And obviously, I mean, the offense was unbelievable. I think that at halftime it was like a 1.4 points per possession, and then it went up in the second half, which is just, that's unheard of. And, you know, the non-ball knowers will look at the final score and say, well, yeah, but they still can't guard. And if you probably look at when that game went analytically final, I'm sure that the points per possession would reflect the fact that Alabama guarded pretty well in that game, really and truly. And it was a really well-rounded performance and really dominant. And so that was so encouraging to see, especially because, you know, a lot of teams in that seeding position didn't handle their games with such dominance and such, you know, it was very stressful for a lot of teams in the four line, not naming names or anything. So to be able to go in there and just do our job, get the dub we're supposed to get, move on in the next round, and then, yeah, I mean, as we talk about the Grand Canyon game, something I will say is, and you know this, I wasn't able to watch most of it. I went back and I tried to rewatch as much as I can. I watched the last 4 minutes. I talked to friends about it, and what I've gathered, what I've seen just from getting to see as much of it as I can, is that it was an absolute dogfight. And that's the kind of stuff that I live for. And honestly, the stuff that you don't see a ton of in Alabama games, because they're usually so high paced, so high scoring. But there was a level of toughness and grit in that game that, like, it got me going a little bit. You know, the defense was there. You saw it. Championship mentality just through and through, because things didn't go our way. You know, some are saying that the refs didn't call the best game in the world. Who's to say if they're right?
They
Others, you
called a
know,
rugby match, is what they called.
yeah. And it's one of those things too that the shooting wasn't, like, everything didn't really go our way. So who are you when things aren't going your way? That's when you figure out if you're a champion or not. Anyone can be a champion when all their threes are dropping, when they're just kind of, everything's going right according to plan. It's what happens when, you know, stuff goes sideways. And you saw it on Sunday, and I'm so proud of this team. I think these two games have shown a different reason why I think this team is capable of run. Obviously, them both being games that you would have to win in order to make a run to begin with. But you saw the high-end scoring, but you also saw the grittiness and the toughness that it takes to win an Elite Eight game, a Sweet 16 game against a one seed. And beyond that, you saw defense, which we frankly haven't seen a ton of in the last couple of months, if we're going to be really honest about it. But you know, I saw some Grand Canyon people saying that's the best defense we played all year. And so for that to be the mark of this team, I think it says a ton about their lock-in, their intensity throughout the game. You mentioned Ramadan Mo. You need guys that go in and are just willing to do the dirty work and the things that aren't glamorous. And he's one of those guys, and as a result, ironically, he shined, you know. But
It
such a
wasn't he
win.
wasn't the sexy Mark Sears 30 and then over 20 points, but he got it. He did exactly as you were saying what Alabama needed. And sometimes as a player, and you can attest to this, that gives you the extra edge to go the extra mile, to dive on the loose ball, to box out or be a little bit more physical on a rebound, give you an extra jolt of energy either in transition or on defense. Just somebody like that can make all the difference in the world for your team and your program.
You know what else I loved is that in a game like that, if you had asked me earlier in the season, who's the guy that, yeah, he's super talented, but might not be in it in the fox, you wouldn't want him in the foxhole with you. You know, I don't know if he'd be the toughest guy in the world. I'm gonna be honest, Aaron Estrada probably would have been one of the early names I would have called out for that. So for Aaron Estrada to go in and win the hard hat in a game like that, in a game that is only, like, if you're not tough, it's gonna be exposed so quick in a game like that. For him to win the hard hat in a game like that speaks to his toughness, his competitive spirit. I mean, I was so happy and proud of him. And
And early on, he wasn't hitting shots. He was missing some layups. And granted, they were being Grand Canyon was being extremely physical, but he had things not go his way. So he responded well. In addition to not only showing out, he came from a place where he was not, it was not projecting to be his best game. And he comes out and wins the hard hat, which is huge.
And the other thing is, and we've said it so many times throughout this year, so I almost feel that this is like redundant to say, but it's just worth saying because we're seeing it in action. When you have a guy like Mark Sears, when you have a guy that you can get the ball to in the last 4 minutes of a big game and say, when is this one? And he can do it. It really just takes the ceiling off of what your team can achieve because he is so special. And, again, I think towards the end of the year, he was starting to lose his legs a little bit. He's starting to get a little, lose a little bit of his burst. And it's so evidently back. I think people were starting to get worried that the March Madness mark from last year, if you will, was set to come back. And but what we're seeing is Mark Sears in peak form right now. You said March Madness. I think Miss Sears, what was it, her bejeweled shirt or whatever, had the hashtag get
Yeah,
seared up.
LaMika Sears shooting the free throws with Mark
LaMika,
and all that.
yeah. And so, but it really is one of those things that when you have one of those dudes, just get me to the last 4 minutes in a close game and he'll win it. And you saw it against Grand Canyon. We didn't need to see it against College of Charleston, but he was firing on all cylinders. He was, if he needed to, he probably would have had 40 in that game. And so he's so special. I hope we get another year of him. I'm gonna be really selfish. Some people need to, pour into Yay Alabama and make sure that he gets a little something out of that. But he is gonna, have the chance, especially if he comes back next year, to be an all-time great Alabama basketball player. He already kind of is. But what's crazy about it is, he's an Alabama kid through and through, but he didn't start here. But he has the chance to maybe go down as one of the all-time legends of this program, of this university. And he has a real chance to cement it in this next week.
So Alabama now gets one seed, North Carolina in the Sweet 16. The Crimson Tide, we have mentioned before, historically struggle one, and I think it's now nine in the Sweet 16. The only breakthrough to make the Elite Eight was in 2004 under Mark Gottfried. Now, North Carolina is a team that comes in, as I mentioned, as a one seed. Now they've had their struggles. I mean, they were down against Michigan State 12 in their game against, I think Michigan State's the eight this year. But then they had a 26-3 run. I mean, it's North Carolina, and they historically expect to be in the Sweet 16, as does Kentucky, but Kentucky's horrible, and Calipari needs to move on to his next career. But I tell you, Britton, North Carolina, bring it on. To me, Alabama fans, I ran into somebody earlier today, and they're saying, yeah, it's been a great season. We're playing North Carolina, and it's been great, but this is going to be a tough one. Well, I mean, the players aren't thinking that, right? The coaches aren't thinking that. They're thinking, Nate said in his press conference I was watching rewatching this morning, he said, yeah, we got some things to clear up. We won, with different styles, but we're going to do everything we can to get our guys ready. And so it's not a, well, let's tip your hat. We made it to the Sweet 16. This is a Alabama beat North Carolina. What was it, last season? And granted, teams are different season to season. Everybody knows that. Doesn't take a casual fan to observe that, but this is an opportunity for Alabama to get a marquee win on a marquee stage that it really hasn't had, falling short in all those road games, Arizona, Purdue, Creighton, even those some of those weren't true road games. They were on the road close to other schools. And so this is a great chance for Alabama to really show what it's made of. And North Carolina has showed some vulnerabilities, and I think we had talked about we'll take North Carolina being the one seed in our quadrant of the bracket. And so I think this is a bring it on moment for Nate Oates and his team.
Yeah, this is a game that we welcome. This is the, and I'll preface by saying North Carolina is a very, very good team. And this is obviously, we're not saying that, oh, this is an auto win. But what we are saying is they are the most vulnerable one seed. They're very, very talented top to bottom. But I don't think it's a matchup we're scared of. And beyond that, this is why we play the non-conference schedule we do. This is why you take on Purdue and Arizona and Creighton and Clemson and all those games. is that so when you get to a game like this isn't the first time you've played a team like this, and you're not scared of that challenge at all. And you know, like you said, so many of these guys were here last year and have played against Houston. I played against, like, you go through all the teams they played against. They're not scared of North Carolina. Yeah, they're going to present some challenges. Baycott's going to be really, great in the post. We're going to have to figure out a way to stop it. They got great guard play. We got to figure out how to stop it. They got to figure out how to stop us, though. We've been the premier offense in the country for most of this year. And I really and truly believe that if we can get our defense to where it needs to be and match the toughness we had against Grand Canyon and knock down some shots along the way, there's no reason we can't win this game. I mean, I was looking at KenPom. There are 4-1 seeds, obviously. 1, 2, and 3 in KenPom are three of the 1 seeds. That would be UConn, Houston, and Purdue. And then number 9 is the fourth one in North Carolina. And Alabama's at number 14 in KenPom. And again, KenPom's not the metric to end all metrics, but I do love using it as a tool. And I think it shows that North Carolina is the most vulnerable of the 1 seeds. And look, I think I said it earlier this year, something I believed for a long time. I think it may be a year that people don't expect to be the year that Natives goes on a run to the Final Four and beyond. But man, I don't want to get my hopes up too much. I really do believe we're playing with house money at this point, making the Sweet 16 after losing our entire staff aside from Oates and, AB and a couple other guys and losing a lot of our roster. But it's been a great year, but I think it has a chance to be that much better in a week's time. So, well, what's cool is we're 1 win away from historic season, which it's already been a great season, but 1 win
Right.
away from historic season. And I think the guys know that, but they also don't feel the pressure right now. This isn't last year where it's, hey, you're the number one overall seed. You're supposed to win this game. It's, hey, you're not really supposed to win this game, but everyone in that room knows that they can. And so I'm excited. I'm fired up. I think we got a real chance to win this one. And it'd be really fun if we did.
And you got Clemson and Arizona in that first game in LA sitting awaiting the winner of Alabama and North Carolina. Give me one key to the game, and then we'll move on to Samford and talk about the Samford Kansas game. But one thing you're watching in this North Carolina Alabama game, Mark Sears, for me, Mark Sears has to be clicking. You got to have somebody like Mo step up. Losing Latrell Wrightsell last night early was tough, but Nate said he's going to be able to come back, which is going to be extremely beneficial for the Crimson Tide program. Pringle, a lot of questions about him and getting to Spokane. Obviously, he showed up and breaking a clipboard Sunday night certainly was something. But if Pringle can keep his chips in the can, then Alabama and play to his capability, then Alabama certainly will be in a good spot. So I think it's about one more guy, somebody like Mo. Maybe it's Mo again stepping up but having that hidden gem for Alabama against North Carolina. That'll be on Thursday night at what, 7:45, 8:45? I'm getting all my time zones confused after
It's
going to
late.
Salt Lake
I know
City.
that. I'll
Late
have to
game
check the
Thursday
game.
night on C on presumably CBS.
Well, the Pringle had an all-time ratio today on Twitter. I don't know if you saw, but there's a certain AL.com journalist that posted an article about him that we're not going to dignify by naming. But Pringle responded to it, and I think he about 50x him on likes and retweets, and so that was pretty awesome. I'll say this just as an added kind of factor to look at it in this game. We talked about the obvious things. The defense has to be there. You have to make some shots. I think rebound is going to be huge in this game. North Carolina, historically and this year as well, is a great rebounding team. And how are we going to show our physicality and toughness in rebounding? That's something you can control to an extent. And so if we win the rebounding battle, it might get scary. I don't know. But we'll see. I think that's a huge factor in this game.
All right, so the Crimson Tide taking on North Carolina in the Sweet 16. Once again, Nate Oates, third time in 4 years. He's made the tournament all 4 years that he's been in Alabama, and there has been a tournament, obviously, that first season. being the COVID season. Bucky McMillan and the Samford Bulldogs making the big dance for the first time in 24 years. McMillan, in his fourth year as head coach of the Bulldogs, led his team to a 29-6 program record, 15-3 in conference play. They won the league outright. They had a historic year. They lost to Kansas in the first round in Salt Lake City, 89-93. I had the opportunity to go and to be there sitting in the Samford section, and it was just so special to see everybody from Birmingham. And really, there were the fans in the Delta Center. You know, if you're an underdog, you're eventually going to get the support of everybody in the arena when you're playing a team like Kansas, if you can keep it close. And mounting a 22-point comeback, nearly tying the game, everybody was going for Samford if you didn't have a blue shirt on in that game. And so what a special, special thing for Samford. Huge for the university in terms of they'll get not only lots of enrollment, lots of clicks on their website, you know, tons of people wanting to apply and learn more about the university, but they will have a good amount of money coming in for their athletic department. This was kind of the goal, ultimately, not to get there, but to get there and win. And in the future, I'm confident that under Bucky, assuming he stays, they will get there and win. But getting some good money, putting your team and your university and your athletic department on the map. Now, all that to be said, Samford did get absolutely screwed. AJ State McCray's called foul was a block, and we can discuss that. But Britton, overall, analyzing the game as a former member of the program, somebody who's played for Bucky, just how big was that for that team and for Coach McMillan?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have even the words for that. I'll try my best. I am so proud of not just the program, not just Bucky, but each and every one of the guys on that team. It was incredibly cool for me to see the guys that were making the plays at the end of the game that brought them back. So many of them, most if not all, were guys that were there last year and guys that had been there 4 years. And I've seen them develop. I was talking with Jaden Campbell, actually, at the, I guess it was the watch party for Selection Sunday, and just how much he's developed as a player in the best way possible. Try to say it in the nicest way possible. But I was like, Jaden, some of the plays you're making in the SoCon tournament, in terms of not just like making shots, he's always been a big shot maker, but tough plays, diving on the floor for loose balls, taking charges, like making plays like that. I was like, I don't know if you're making those plays even a year ago, much less a couple of years ago. And he kind of like chuckled, was like, yeah, probably not. But he made all of them again against Kansas on the biggest stage and in the brightest lights. We can talk about the call all day, and I don't even really want to waste that much time on it, as bad as it was, because that's not the point. But the point is that chase down block was unbelievable by AJ. Unbelievable. It's one of the greatest plays I've seen in terms of a chase down block in a big moment. And, you know, it's a bummer that a call took that away, but that was unbelievable. And then you get guys, you know, even Jermaine, who didn't have his best game, made plays down the stretch. Like a chore has just turned into a superstar. I mean, it's crazy. And so I could keep going down the line, and you know, it's obviously tough to lose, but the nature of it is, if you're Samford, as currently constructed, you're probably not winning the national title. So you're going to have to lose at some point. That's the nature of this tournament. 67 of the 68 teams end up losing. But if you're going to go out, I couldn't think of a better way to do it. That everyone who watched that game left that game loving Samford, because how can you not love them for how hard they played, how tough they played? They were making plays. They weren't scared of the moment. They didn't back down from the moment.
No.
They stepped up in the moment.
And so, Britton, what I want to ask you is, the America Buckyball caught America by storm, right? Everybody's saying, oh, they got screwed by the call, and oh, what is Samford? And they look them up on the internet and follow them on social media and all those things. But everybody looks at Buckyball and they say, oh, it's this unique, fun style. And I had you describe it, but really, it's not about the offense, it's about the defense that leads to the offense. And that's one thing I think that was grossly misunderstood is that people look at Bucky and they say, well, they have a top offense in the country and they play fast and they shoot a lot of threes. Well, they shoot a lot of threes because of what the work they put in on the offseason and the pride that they put on the defensive side of the ball, which I think was what was led to the frustration from the technical foul from the bench from one of the coaches, and that there was a either defensive mishap or a missed call, which, by the way, when you're playing a blue blood in the NCAA tournament and they do everything they can to protect you, you know, Samford got screwed like that. But it really is Buckyball is emphatic, and step one relies on defense. Would you agree?
For sure. I mean, it's defense, it's details. It's details. So you're going to play a fun style, or it's going to end up being a fun style. It's not a fun style if you can't guard. It's a terrible style if you can't guard. It's a terrible style if you can't shoot and aren't skilled,
And you're
because
gonna
you're
end
going to
up
make an
losing. He's gonna end
absolute
up losing his
fool of
job. He wouldn't
yourself.
have been here, you know, where he was now.
And so it's success and all the details, and it's throwing different looks at you, but you have to. That goes back to the work you put in, like you were saying, all off season. You can't throw six defenses at a team unless you've been working on that all year long. And so really and truly, it's based in working incredibly hard. I've said it multiple times, I think, but I think I've played for two of the hardest working and hardest practicing programs in the country. But because of that, they look like the two of the more glamorous programs in the country because of the work that you put in on the front end. So, it's definitely rooted in defense and details and just doing things in such a detail-oriented way that when you see Dallas take three charges trying to set up the press just by guys shoving him off, like it's because he's repped that a million times. And also because he's a maniac, but that's another deal. But really, I think what's so cool about this game, like you said, it kind of put Samford on the national map. And beyond that, it's a launching pad game. So for a lot of programs, that's the game where that's going to be the peak of their program history. It's never going to get better than that. Other people that have been around this program and are seeing where this program's going is this is the launching point. Like, this isn't the last time that Samford's going to be there. This isn't the last time Samford's gonna have an opportunity to knock off a big school. And I expect they're gonna do it soon. And so really exciting to see them continue to build, to see what Bucky is continuing to build in Homewood. And you know, they're getting the new facilities this next year. They're getting a bunch of new stuff and they're continuing to build into the premier program in the SoCon. And so
Undoubtedly. So
I think
I'm
it's really
interested.
exciting.
I'm interested. Yeah, they are getting those new facilities on the, you know, campus rec center combined with basketball practice court and all those things. And obviously it helps recruiting because everybody sees the way they play. And if you're a disgruntled Power Five player or you're another mid-major player and you see that, you know, Bucky's going to have no time, you know, no difficult time handpicking who he wants to be on his roster next year. And there will be turnover like there is on every other team in college basketball. But I'll be interested to see who he goes after in the portal, who wants to stay. You know, obviously you got some guys leaving. I think everybody that's there is saying, hey, please keep me, coach, because this was awesome. That's the expectation. We want to come do this again. But you know, hitting that point about I think the defense is imperative. But also another, and I tweeted this, another difficulty they're going to have is scheduling because they already, you know, sharing a slice of the pie of the title in 2023. Nobody wanted to play them, you know, in the fall of 2023, winter of 24, non-conference schedule. It's really a lose-lose situation if you're another school. And so now that they see, you know, Bill Self himself said, I want nothing to do with Buckyball as long as I can handle it. Maybe Matt Painter will have them up again and they'll play Purdue or somebody like that. But I think Samford's going to have a really hard time getting a game because if you're a Power Five coach and you see that, it does you no good to schedule them. It really does. And so I'll be interested to see where they go in scheduling and what that looks like for them next year. But America knows about them. And, you know, Bucky said they're big. Kansas is just a big team. And I thought he handled his post-game interview with a lot of class, but Samford could not line up with the size of Kansas. You looked at, I kept watching in the arena, Dallas Graziani walk next to Hunter Dickinson multiple times, and I just kept laughing because he came up to his elbow. It really was David and Goliath size wise. But what a season for Samford. What a memorable experience getting to go out there. A lot of great people. And so the season isn't over for Alabama. Hopefully, we'll be doing a pod, and Alabama could possibly be dancing into the Final Four this time next week. But I'll leave you with the last word, and that I will say, great season for Samford. Enjoyable trip out to Salt Lake. Enjoyed spending time with my dad there, and looking forward to watching Alabama and the challenge it has ahead of it in playing North Carolina. I think the Crimson Tide stayed out west, and so they are probably headed to LA today. We're recording this on Monday. So, looking forward to another opportunity to see Mark Sears. And no matter what happens with Alabama this weekend, we're hoping we can retain Mark Sears for another season in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, just to reiterate, just an absolute historic season for the Bulldogs. And I always have said that I think the first one's the toughest to win. And then once you knock down that door, it's easier to knock it down again. And so I think the floodgates are going to open now, and you're going to see, as long as Bucky is there, Samford will be a constant in the tournament. And I'm excited to be able to watch it, hopefully up close and personal. And so that's super exciting. And let's have a week. Why not? Hey, let's be the underdogs for once. Let's go get a couple upsets. Let's play some ball in Phoenix in a week. I can't wait to come back and talk about that. So, Roll Tide, go Bulldogs. This is March.